I am a member of the United Methodist Church, and we have a social justice ministry, and it was through that ministry that I became aware of problems in prisons and parole in New York State.
I suppose my background is I am, like I said, I'm a researcher, but I'm also an activist, and I've been involved in union work, organizing for the last few years, and also anti-racist organizing. And so both Carol and I have, I guess, been doing work on the Parole Watch as part of a larger local organization, activist organization called CAMI. And CAMI is stands for Capital Area Against Mass Incarceration. People locally might have, you know, seen some of the work that CAMI's done. It was formed 4 years ago as part of the New York Prisoner Justice Network, but it's also handled local cases with issues in police abuse and mass incarceration. People might remember the case of Dante Ivey or Marquise Dixon in the last few years, or more recently, last year, the UAlbany women of color who had the incident on board a racially charged incident on board one of the UAlbany buses. And so Parole Watch has been a specific part of what CAMI has been doing over the past year. So did you want to, you know, give some background specifically about Parole Watch?
Parole Watch is a subcommittee of mm-hmm. CAMI, and our subcommittee formed after a man by the name of John McKenzie killed himself in Fishkill Correctional Facility, and he had been in front of the parole boards 10 times and was denied parole due to the nature of his crime, and he was almost 70 years old. And that was something that mobilized this movement and was the impetus for our group forming.
Great. I should say that listeners can, if they want to look more into that specific case of John McKenzie, they can actually Kathy Manley, right?
Kathy Manley represented John McKenzie, and she did an interview on WOOK Radio, which is archived on the website.
Right. So if people want to go specifically to that case, they can look at the archives. So did you want to say more about what Parole Watch actually does, or why, you know, the meetings are open?
Sure, Tommy. Thank you. We have something in New York State called the Open Meetings Law. It's part of the Sunshine Laws, which were created in the 70s. And government operates best when you let the sunshine in. That means letting the public know what's going on. So we have Open Meetings Law, and we have Freedom of Information Laws. And the Parole Board has a monthly business meeting in Albany. And it's a public meeting, which means that the public may attend the meeting. We're not allowed to talk, but we are allowed to go and watch and listen. And so we are silent witnesses to what's going on at these business meetings. Now, the parole commissioners operate behind the walls. When they hear a prisoner's case, they are either inside a prison or somewhere where there's a video conferencing capability where they conduct these hearings. And it's only when they appear at Senate confirmation hearings and these business meetings that the public actually gets to see them. There are public servants. And when we go to these business meetings, we want to see what they're doing. Are they serving us well, or do they need to change?
And you mentioned that they're public servants. What do you know? Could you describe the process by which someone might become a parole board officer?
Okay. I want to just correct you. It's a parole commissioner. That's
sorry,
the lingo.
Parole commissioner.
And what happens is the governor, it's a political process, surprise, mm-hmm. surprise. And the governor selects people and appoints them, and then the Senate has to confirm them.
Okay, so you know, there's nothing on our ballots as New York State residents that says that we get to vote in or anything like that, right?
So correct. Okay. But we as citizens have the power to talk to our elected officials and our governor and tell them what we want. And we, that is the activists in New York State, gave a strong message on that this past year because we were very dissatisfied with the people who were on the board.
Gotcha. I guess the question is, and what have we found? Did you want to bring up anything that, you know, that you found important from, you know, we've been at these meetings for a year now, since October 2016. What do you think, if you could say maybe a few points, or okay. I can also chime in, what mm-hmm. do you think that people who haven't been at these meetings should know?
That the parole board commissioners were not used to the sun shining in. Mm-hmm. The first time we went to a meeting, I was the first one that arrived. There wasn't even a chair for me because the public had not been attending these meetings. So now we have a presence, and I was speaking with a former parole commissioner, and when he heard that we had 17 people at a meeting, he was in shock because no one ever went to these meetings. So now the parole board knows that we're watching. They expect us. And when we see them doing something wrong, not following the open meetings law, mm-hmm. we bring it to their attention. Mm-hmm. And any citizen in the state mm-hmm. can contact the Committee on Open Government mm-hmm. And ask for help. Say, this is what's going on. For example, the parole board takes videos of their meetings and they put them online. So there's the law dictates how you conduct the meeting in terms of how you make motions to go into executive session, which is the part of the public meeting that we're not allowed to stay for. So you have to be very specific about when you're going to be secretive. And so the parole board, I sent three of their meetings, and Bob Freeman, the attorney at the Committee on Open Government, or his staff, I can't remember, mm-hmm. a lawyer there said, no good. So they got a copy of that opinion. Then they had to start changing the way they made the motions.
Right.
Now, Tina Stanford, who mm-hmm. is the chair, and her attorney, they're lawyers. Mm-hmm. For whatever reason, I don't know why, but they didn't become informed of what the open meetings law required, or they mm-hmm. ignored it. But when you're an attorney, you have an obligation to know what the law is. So now they know, and they've changed the way they make the motions, and we're happy about that.
Great, great. Yeah, I think that, you know, having gone to a few meetings myself, I think that what's super... super interesting to follow about the meetings too is that we actually only see a small portion of the meeting, right? Is maybe a third or less, right, of the actual time that we think that they're spending in the meeting, right?
We have no idea how long they're together because mm-hmm. once the part that we're invited to mm-hmm. is over, we leave. So it's hard to say how long they're actually together.
Okay. And where do the meetings actually occur? If somebody is interested in going to a meeting or...
They occur in Albany on mm-hmm. New Scotland. Mm-hmm. There's a correctional academy, and that's where it occurs.
Yeah, and they also, like you said, they also, if people want to check it out, they have the videos posted on the Board of Parole website. And so you can, if somebody is unable to make it to the meeting in person, you know, they could also check it out there,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes. And actually, mm-hmm. It's very helpful that the meetings are available on the web. We're grateful for that because it gives it access to folks, because we're in Albany, so it's convenient for us to go, but New York State is big, and people aren't going to travel from Long Island or Buffalo to go to a right, public
right.
meeting.
Yeah, the only people traveling from the other side of the state for the meeting are right. pretty much the commissioners.
And I should say that when our group formed, we wanted to do parole reform, but we were like, well, what can we do? Since we're in Albany, we said we should do something that mm-hmm. is... you know, the business meetings are in Albany. No one was going to them. So that seemed like a logical thing for us to do.
And so I think that, and we talked about this a little bit before, you know, there's the aspect of this that this is very much about prison, right? And how prisoners are treated. And also, as you mentioned, the meetings are held at the Department of Corrections facility on New Scotland Road. how do you, I guess, what does it mean as far as governance, as far as holding, you know, your representatives accountable? What is that? How does that differ for holding somebody accountable who may be a congressperson or in charge of like counting ballots or election, you know, election law? How does it differ when you're working with people who are representing the public in terms of incarceration or the treatment of, you know, our prisoners?
I feel that I'm not treated as well. Mm-hmm. You know, since 9/11, whenever you go into a public meeting mm-hmm. or a public building, there's mm-hmm. some type of, you know, inspection. They don't let anybody walk in anymore. Sure. That's perfectly reasonable. But when you go into the Corrections Academy, you have to go through a metal detector. Mm-hmm. Fine. But they set the metal detector extremely low. I've walked into the Capitol countless times and mm-hmm. I've never had a problem with the metal detector. Mm-hmm. But there's always a problem with the metal detector there. You can't walk mm-hmm. through without setting it off, and then you have to get wanded and you're not treated respectfully. Mm-hmm. And my daughter is 17 and she's taking AP American Government. So I brought her to one of these meetings. Sure. And at this particular meeting, the guard told us we weren't allowed to bring cell phones into the meeting. We had to put them out in our cars. Illegal, but they did it because they could. Mm-hmm. So when I came back into the building, I went through the metal detector and set it off. And the guard took me aside and wanted to wand me. Yeah. And when he wanded me, he was speaking to me in a tone of voice mm-hmm. that was not very respectful. Mm-hmm. And he barked at me when the wand indicated metal on my mm-hmm. by my clavicle. And he said to me, what's there? What's setting it off? Mm-hmm. And I looked at him and I said, my bra. Mm-hmm. So it, you know, when we got in the car, my daughter was like, why was that man talking to you that way? Yeah. And I said, because he could, you know, but you shouldn't be treated that way when you're going to a public meeting.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And I think that that also speaks to, you know, how this isn't just a regular parole board or a regular public government body, but instead is something where it's very much influenced by the aspect of how incarceration and works and things like that. And I think that that's something that, you know, is a very real discussion that needs to be had about how government works, but also, you know, something that people unfortunately should expect. So I think that now, you know, we're going to say, you know, people should definitely come to these meetings, but also be prepared, you know, to take off, remove any metal objects, things like that, right?
Yes, definitely. Don't bring a gun.
Yeah, do not bring. Yeah,
it's posted right on the door.
Do not do that. And so I definitely want to thank you for this conversation. And, you know, did you want to say anything else before we go?
I wanted to share with you something from the open meetings law. Uh-huh. And it says that the people must be able to remain informed if they are to retain control over those who mm-hmm. are their public servants. And the parole commissioners are our public servants. And we're going to hold their feet to the fire by watching and witnessing them every month.
Great. And so I want to thank Carol for talking. And my name's Tommy, and thank you all for listening. And if you want to get more involved, definitely check out NYCCAMI, NYCAAMI@gmail.com. For those of you who are email inclined and you want to reach out and coordinate coming to a meeting or something like that. And also, Parole Watch has a Twitter, which is @ Parole Watch NY. And we post updates from the meetings and any findings that we think might be important. So check those out if you're interested in learning more.